You know, they say it takes at least 5 times for information to be heard in order for someone to actually absorb it and understand it. So that's exactly what I'm doing by filming this new podcast series, going over my 3-goal system.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 371. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, and if you've ever felt stuck trying to learn jazz piano from a million different sources, this show is definitely for you. Each week, I break things down step by step to help you play with more freedom, more confidence, and a whole lot more swing. Everything I share here ties back to the system that I created and that we use inside the Jazz Piano School membership. So if you're ready for more structure and progress, I'll tell you how to check that out at the end of this episode. And hey, if you're enjoying this kind of real-world guidance, make sure to hit follow or subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 371. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. I had to take some time off. From podcasting. I went to Scotland in June and we were releasing podcasts and I got back and I was still in a very reflective state of mind. So I had to take some time off. So I appreciate that, but I am back and a lot of great stuff happening always. Just so you know, if you want the cut edited version of this lesson, go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. You can watch the intro and it dives directly into the content. But for all you podcast listeners out there, if you do like to hear me talk about the subject, a little bit lengthier intro, that's what this particular podcast is for. So if you want to skip all this, just go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool and you can get the latest podcast there. And it completely cuts all this out. But a couple things. This next series of podcasts is going to be great. And I've done this before, but I keep doing it because I'm really going all in. I'm going all in with this new system that I have really seen help students get incredible, drastic results from over the past 2 to 3 years that I've been really teaching my live programs. Now, what happened is that in my live teaching programs, they run from the fall to about May. Give or take a couple of months, depending upon what tier you're in. But these live teaching programs are like courses. They're like live cohort courses. Like if you were going to college, taking a class, right? It would be a year-long class. That's exactly what these live programs are for. You get to study with me. There's different tiers. The live programs are currently open, by the way. So if you go to jazzpianoschool.com/live program, you can get all the information about them right now. There's different levels of commitment, different levels of pricing. And you can pick what's best. If you have any questions, please let me know. Email support@jazzpianoschool.com. But since I started running the programs, I've been utilizing this 3-goal system. Comping or accompaniment, which goes over voicings and comping, and then solo piano, and then improv. What I found from testing this live, like literally refining my strategies and my methods, my teaching methods, is that this is really extracting and deriving the fastest results from my students. And literally the data I've collected over the past couple of years and the progress that I've seen my students make is just, it's uncanny. I mean, it's unbelievable to see how much progress they're using, they're making from this. So I'm going really all in with this system. So many changes are being made, so many reorganized educational concepts that I'm going to be making to Jazz Piano School, where this 3-goal system is literally like giving you exactly what you need to really accomplish everything. And then everything else on top is kind of like the cherry, right? So it's goal-driven. It's goal-driven, not information-driven. We live in an information age where it's like, give me more info. But where are you going, right? A pilot can't fly a plane. I mean, they can, but they can fly around aimlessly, but they need a destination. And same with a ship, right? You could have the greatest pilot in the world, but without a destination, they're going to go everywhere. They don't know where to go. Like you could be the greatest jazz pianist, a giant, right? You could be that person, but you just have no destination. And so much of jazz piano, especially in the information day and age with the internet, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, it's really heavily promotion and tactic driven exercises, and not to say the information isn't good. It's great by all means, but it's really based heavily on things that spark interest in students, because you want stuff that's fun, that sounds cool. Some of you don't, right? And good for you. But even me, I liked flashy stuff. I liked stuff. No one wants to practice the basics. No one wants to practice fundamentals. No one wants to practice stuff that's boring to them. They want the high class stuff. Now, unfortunately for students, the stuff you hear on the albums by Oscar, Barry Harris, Bill Evans, Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock, Art Tatum, you know, all the flashy stuff, Wynton Kelly, Red Garland, all really the flashy, cool stuff that sounds good, it doesn't make you a complete pianist. It's really 1/100th of the puzzle. It's like really going after a puzzle piece that's microscopic. So, you know, when you think about it like that, it's jarring, right? Because it's so great. It sounds so cool. But, you know, if I give you an option, hey, John, you can get this really cool, fun tactic. It's going to be the smallest puzzle piece known to humankind, right? You're going to make barely any progress. You're going to make 1% progress. Or you can get this humongous, gigantic puzzle piece that's going to get you 90% of the way there, because the puzzle piece is ginormous. It's huge. You literally just lay it down on the mat. It's going to fill up 90% of the space, right? Which one would you want to choose? I mean, hopefully you'd be able to lay off the tiny, cool puzzle piece and just take the boring puzzle piece, right? Which might just be like the blank sky on a puzzle, as opposed to like a detailed image of a person or something like that, right? I'm getting deep into analogies, but that's what I'm trying to go for with this system, is that when you have this goal-driven system to follow, which again is a three-goal system, because all goals from jazz pianists, students in particular, and even myself, fall into these three categories. People come and say that, I want to play in a band. I want to play in a group. Great. You need to know how to comp. I want to play solo piano. Great. You need to know how to comp, but also what solo piano style do you want to play? Because there's three of them: ballads, slow swing, medium, fast, and up. Okay. Okay, great. I can teach you that, but you got to know how to comp, because you need to comp for yourself in solo piano, and also what solo piano style do you want, right? And then finally, improv. I want to learn to improvise. Okay, great. Do you want to learn how to improvise in a group or in a solo piano style? Because those two styles are drastically different, right? If you want to improvise in a group, there's certain tactics, methods, and strategies you need to learn. If you want to improvise in a solo piano style, there's certain tactics, methods, and strategies you need to learn that are separate from playing in a group. You see that? So you could be spending all your time on one thing when really you need this other thing over here. So by going down a goal-driven path, this essentially is really what makes the shift for students. Like, drastically increases results, drastically increases the efficiency at which you can play and sound like a professional very, very fast by focus. It's not more information, it's focus, right? And hopefully these tangents I go on sometimes, I'm you know, the education of teaching you how to teach yourself is more powerful than any voicing or anything I could show you on the piano. Just having and harnessing the power of your mind to make the shift in your head. Ooh, I think Brendan's on to something here. I have been going to YouTube a lot and jumping around, finding these little tiny pieces. The more you can control your mind and understand the act, the process of learning jazz piano, and really educate yourself, right? Educate yourself on how you learn jazz piano, because not many teachers teach you how to learn jazz piano. They teach you jazz piano. They'll teach you things, but they don't teach you why, right? Why am I teaching you this? How does this puzzle piece fit into the long-term goal? How does it get you to your goal, right? Where does it fit in? Okay, I'm teaching you how to fish. I'm not just giving you the fish. And that's what Jazz Piano School is all about. So anyway, my three-goal system, I've pre-recorded my three-goal system for my live program. So there's three different tiers. You can do the accelerator program, which is 3 months. There's three different semesters, so you can choose the semester. I highly recommend starting at semester one, which starts September 2nd, Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025. Or you can do all three semesters, which is the mastermind. Or you can do my VIP coaching experience, which is you get access to everything, plus you work with me every single week, right? It's my highest level tier. And again, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/live program to get all the information you need about this. And also get my free roadmap. Please, please, please go to jazzpianoschool.com/roadmap, because everything I'm talking about here is in that one document. It's a beautiful, free, thick, dense, content-driven book that I literally wrote and put together for you. I mean, it's not just a one sheet thing. This is like a 15 to 20 page book explaining my system here, right? And it's completely free. jazzpianoschool.com/roadmap, right? Everyone should have this. Even if you've been a member of Jazz Piano School for 10 plus years, go get this, right? I can't stress that enough. Anyway, my whole live program is built around this three goal system, and I'm reorganizing the inside of Jazz Piano School, the membership area, to really be built around this, to make it more simple, more accessible, easy to follow based on those three tracks. Right? Just those three tracks alone. Now, of course, is there a content library? Do you want to look up Passing Drop 2 Chords by Barry Harris? Right? Absolutely. That's in there. You want modern voicings from McCoy? You want your fourth? Everything's in there, right? In the content library. But the important part is you know where those things fit in to the grand puzzle, to the big picture. And without knowing the path, you could be jumping from your McCoy voicings to your Barry Harris voicings to the Red Garland voicings to Wynton Kelly playing to Bill Evans, right? And you never really get anywhere. And you feel like you're spinning your wheels in the mud, right? I know a lot of you probably can relate. So I have so many great things coming up. I feel very passionate right now that I've taken a break. We all need breaks, you know, to rejuvenate, refocus, and breathe a little bit, right? Just take some time off. I've done that. I have a free workshop coming up. Well, actually, maybe not. I won't talk about that. I'll leave that off. Sorry. I think I'm not really sure when this is going to come out, so it might be past the date, but I do multiple workshops. Anyway, the best way to do is to download the free resource and then stay on the email list after you download the free resource, because we send out so many free resources. I do so many free workshops. I do public Q&As. Being on the email list, yes, you will get a lot of emails from me because I like to communicate a lot. I communicate, I write all the emails myself to my fans, to the email list. All right, you will get a lot of emails from me, but they're rich, dense, and you'll get all the information you need. Some people, I get it. You don't want emails in your inbox. You want one email from one company a week, no problem. Okay, don't join this email list. If that's you, do not join this email list. I regularly send out lots of emails. I send out stories, tips, videos, workshops, discounts, sales, opportunities, so many different things, right? People call it spam, which kind of bothers me. I mean, you know, if you send out more than one email a week, people call it spam. But the emails I send out are rich in content, right? So you could drastically improve just by reading my emails and following the podcast that I release. I mean, I highly recommend it, okay? Anyway, a lot going on right now. And again, this particular podcast is going to be one of three that where I'm literally going down the roadmap guide and explaining to you. It's like a roadmap. It's like the roadmap guide walkthrough. It's like a walkthrough, right? So I'm playing and I'm going through and showing you on the screen, if you're watching the video, what step and item it is I'm demonstrating in the guide. And again, the guide's free, jazzpianoschool.com/roadmap. And I'm going through my three goal system. So it's going to explain it in full. Again, in my live programs, there's pre-recorded content. Obviously, you get to study with me in certain levels. You get to study with my team and my there's master classes every single week, custom tutorials. It's really fantastic. And again, it's for the people that really want to make a difference. Like if you've been stuck and you're sick and tired of just like not making the progress you want, join my live program. I really can't say enough about it. It's produced fantastic results within my students. And you can go see all of the testimonials on the page, the info page, by going to jazzpianoschool.com/live program. That's open now until Tuesday, September 2nd. So what I'm going to do here in this particular podcast is I'm going over goal number one. I'm going over comping. And I think the most important thing that I want to tell you before I launch into this is that comping is used. Some people are like, oh, I don't want to play in a group. I don't need to play in a group, right? Okay, no problem. You don't want to learn how to comp in a group, right? That's a specific skill set. Knowing how to comp with other musicians, so you can play with a trio, or you can play, you know, with an instrumentalist, like playing the melody, that's no problem. You don't have to play with other musicians. But this is really, really important. You need to comp for yourself when playing solo piano. I'll say that again. You need to comp for yourself when playing solo piano, okay? So when you play solo piano, you have to know how to comp for yourself. And the great thing about goal number one, comping, is that my comping zones tell you exactly how to comp for yourself when you go to goal number two, solo piano. Because in goal number two, I go, okay, use comping method one from goal number one. And if you don't know that, then that's going to be difficult for you to achieve certain solo piano sounds because you have to comp for yourself. You're really required to do everything in solo piano, play bass, play voicings, play melody, comp for yourself, right? Same thing goes for improvisation. When you're improvising in a solo piano way, you have to comp for yourself, right? When you're improvising in a group, you still have to comp for yourself. It's not as difficult in a group because you do have a bass player and drummer there, but you still have to comp for yourself, okay? I'm going to dive in, but you can get 10% as an early bird discount off the programs right now by typing in coupon code EARLY if you do decide to join the program. Obviously, please email me with any questions. I'm literally standing by to answer any and all of your questions, have a conversation. I'll meet with you. If you want to talk about the program, my schedule is open. I will literally have a Zoom call with you to talk about the program. And just email support at jazzpianoschool.com because this is how we organize all the emails that come in. From Jazz Piano School. Okay, let's dive in here. Got lots more content coming to you soon. Thank you for your patience and your understanding on my little hiatus, my little break. I really appreciate that. Again, we all need some breaks, but I'm back. Here we go. All right, so as I mentioned in the intro, I'm going to be going over goal number one, comping. And again, you need goal number one, comping specifically just to play with other musicians if that's one of your goals. Or for solo piano, you need to comp for yourself. And if you're improvising in two different ways, in a solo piano way, you need to comp for yourself. Or if you're playing with a group and you're improvising, your left hand is mainly going to be responsible for comping, but you can add in other comping methods, devices, strategies into group playing as well. So again, goal number one, comping is very, very important, hands down, needless to say. There are two direct paths, educational paths, you can follow to start working on your comping. Number one, path number one, as found in the document that I talked to you guys about in the intro. Path number one is with a bass player, with a bass player. This is going to be extremely easy, right? Now, with a bass player, I can comp and I can leave space, right? I don't really have much to worry about. Right? And I can leave space if I want to just do like a... I can leave all the space I want. I really don't feel pressured into having to play the bass, having to play rhythms, right? So that's why this path number one is the easiest because it means you're comping with a bass player. You're not responsible for bass like you are playing solo piano. You're also not really responsible for rhythm, right? If there is a drummer there, you know, they're going to be adding rhythm. But the bass player really is laying down time as well. So they're very responsible for the rhythm because they really can't stop playing like you can. A pianist can just stop playing. That's why this is going to be one of the easiest strategies here to start with. So I'm going to get into this. Again, in this free document, you will get all of the education components needed so that you can literally see what you need. So methods needed with a bass player, you need to learn comping zone one and two. These are my created comping strategies. Like you won't find this on the internet anywhere else. Like I've literally created the systems over, you know, 10 plus years of running jazz piano school and 30 plus years of teaching. So comping zone one and two and comping zone four and then comping zone three. Now these are in order from easiest to most difficult, easiest to most difficult. So let's check out comping zone one and two. It says comping zone one equals low register. This is low register on the piano. That means down here. I'm going to demonstrate some of these. Nice and low, very, very lush. Okay, it says left hand bass notes, right hand rootless voicings. Now, if you're an intermediate or an advanced player, I was totally moving away from some rootless voicings, right? I was going to kind of some altered. I was doing some reharms. We'll get into all this. Don't worry. I'm just kind of demonstrating for you. But the key point is here in zone one, we're very low on the piano. My rootless voicing is below middle C. My rootless voicings are below or right around middle C. Now, why is this important for comping? Mainly, when you're with a bass player or playing with a group, someone else is playing the melody. The greatest benefit to comping low is that you're staying below the melody and you're providing harmonies that sound like a rich, lush, cozy blanket by a warm fire for that melody to sit right over top of. And if they're soloing too, it's going to be the same thing. If they're improvising over top of you, which most people do, they'll improvise in this range right here. Your harmonies provide such a beautiful low and rich harmonic support. The other important thing about staying low is that you're going to be adding essentially to your harmonic progression and textures and contrast for the entire piano. I hear so many students try to comp up here using very, very fancy drop twos, right? Which is great. But if you stay in that region the entire time, again, not only are you directly over top of the melody, so you're going to be clashing with them, you're going to be directly over top of the soloist, so you're going to be clashing with them too when they start to solo. These are very, very difficult to start with, and 9 out of 10 times, I'm actually not comping in that register ever. Most of the time, I'm comping down here in this low end in zone one. I'm using zone two, which is a little bit higher. Don't worry, I'm gonna explain all of this. I know I'm moving very fast. The point here is for your mind shift. You wanna have a mind shift about comping, right? And then a lot of times I'm up here in the top end. All the way up in the top end. I do comp in zone three, which is letter C of the document right here with my drop twos, but they're more for different textural contrasts, fills, different types of really light, kind of airy types of things. Obviously, this is like a Red Garland, Whitten Kelly style right here. I do use it a lot, but because of the myths that circulate, oh, everyone wants to play drop twos, everyone wants to get the Bill Evans sound, the Whitten Kelly sound, the Red Garland comping strategies, right? The Barry Harris drop twos. You know, this gets really, really targeted and overly targeted to a fault where you're really neglecting the rest of the piano, which really mainly should be used. It's a huge, huge myth. So to correct a lot of your comping strategies, literally stop what you're doing in this section of the piano from middle C to G. Leave that alone. Right? Master the other sections of the piano, which I'm about to explain to you in just a second, and then come back to this. Because I promise, as a professional jazz pianist, right, gigging performances, leader of multiple bands, jazz piano school educator, creator, and founder for years, right, playing since I was 4, this section, right, not to toot my own horn, but I'm just trying to let you guys know that this section here is the section I use the least when comping, the least. Okay, so please, please just trust me on this. So that's going to be zone three, right? So let's go into these zones. I'm going to demo these zones for you now. And I'm going to go to the tune All the Things You Are, okay? I'm going to demo the zone. So zone one, like I just said, is rootless voicings and bass notes. Let's talk about bass notes before I demo those real quick. Brendan, you can't play bass notes when there's a bass player. Please. Please remove that from your head right now, because some of my best, most rich voicings that I've been complimented on over and over and over by bass players, they're saying, oh, it's so nice that you're playing bass notes down there, so I don't always have to play the root. That's one of the compliments I get. And the other compliment I get from bass players and soloists is, oh, it's so nice that you play bass notes, because when you play your reharms, I can actually hear your reharms. Now, do you know why that is? If I play a tritone with an A-flat 7 and I have a bass note, this is directly influencing my sound over here. If I don't play this bass note and I let the bass player play the D, it makes my chord an altered chord. It literally turns my chord into an altered chord. So if I don't play my own bass notes for my reharms in different chords, then the bass player essentially dictates all the harmonies. These are advanced strategies, but even as a beginner, you really need to know why it's so important to accompany your right hand with left hand bass notes. Okay, the only thing you really shouldn't do is just walk bass. Like, don't walk bass while another bass player is walking bass. That'll be very, very bad. But playing bass notes with your right hand to just uphold the harmonic root, very good. Very, very, very good. Okay? So, zone one, like I said, rootless voicings or any sort of other advanced voicings are going to be down here in this low end of the piano. I'm comping through using my bass notes with rootless voicings. Obviously, I'm using different types of rhythms. I can use reharms and stuff. We won't really get into that. But again, this provides a beautiful low end rich palette. And I know you can't see my bass note down here. but you can see it on the notation right there, right? You see it on the notation, that low end C. So I'm going to be playing bass notes the entire time during this demonstration. I'm going to comp through all the things you are. We'll do it a little bit faster because that'll take a long time. Let's go at 130. I'll comp through one time, and I'm going to demonstrate just zone one for you. I'm going to demonstrate zone one. I'll add in no reharms, which gives you guys lots of room for progressions, right? And improvement. And I'm really not going to add in any extensions. I'm just going to use the extensions that are currently locked into rootless voicings, meaning all natural nines and 13s. Okay, no, I won't add in anything else, and here's what it's going to sound like. Voicing there just so you don't get confused with extensions. Great. So, again, zone one, hopefully that was helpful for you to see, to hear, okay? Because it's very, very easy just to go about learning how to do that. Now, let's say you wanted to play in a group, right, with a bass player. If you did that, they'd be like, wow, you're great. You're really, really good. I mean, most players that set out to play in a group really can't even do that. Like, at the basics of comping, they can't go to zone one and play rootless voicings with their right hand and left hand bass notes just as I demonstrated. Now, again, I'm not adding in any fancy extensions. I'm not adding any passing movements. I'm not adding any reharms. Right? Here's what maybe 16 bars of all of that would sound like with some more advanced rhythms and movements. You have so much to grow into. You don't need any of that stuff right now. Just really work on what I just demonstrated right now. Let me show you another demonstration here. Here's with reharms and passing movements. I was trying to go overboard to demonstrate how much you have like at your disposal to grow into. Like when you really learn the basics, you can sequentially walk down the path. Okay, so that's going to be zone one. Let's go over zone two, right? So zone two. Zone two is now going to move up here further into 1 and 7 rootless voicing comping. So I'm now adding just one extra note to my comping. And again, for the goal of playing with other musicians, this is exactly what you should be working on. And it's all in the notebook and the free giveaway, right, that I showed you in the beginning right here. This is completely free. Okay, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/roadmap. I think there's two different ways to get it. Let me just check this just to make sure that's working real quick. I forgot the link to my own giveaway. Anyway, I'll find it. I'll put it in the notes because it's one of those links. I just can't remember the URL off the top of my head. Anyway, let's go to zone number two. Okay, zone number two. So zone number two, like I just mentioned, is going to be adding right here, like it says, zone two, mid to low, right hand rootless voicings, left hand 1 and 7, 1 and 3, or 1 and 10. So it's almost identical to zone one, except for the fact that we're adding one note into zone two. We're just adding one note in to zone two, right? So if I go back to the piano now and I go to our tune, well, let's just go to here so you guys can see that. So here's the middle C. Again, before with zone one, I'm kind of around, I'm really below middle C. Sometimes I was going like up above it, but still with left hand bass notes, but mainly staying down here low. Zone two is really gonna come up higher where, like, as you can see here, I have one note that's below middle C. I can move up even higher. All of these are really zone two comping strategies. Now, the zones kind of overlap, meaning like this chord right here could be a zone two or it could be a zone three, meaning I could turn this directly into a drop two voicing, right? So I could play zone two or I could play zone three. It's up to me, really, however I want to create the sound. But the zones overlap there, okay? We won't really worry about that yet. But they do have a higher playing register, right? Now that I have the seventh in there. And that's because without the seventh, this feels thin. If I just play the root without the seventh, there's a huge gap between this. That seventh or the third really balances out the voicing and allows me to play nice big spreads like this 1 and 10. And again, we won't really worry about the 1 and 10 right now. So again, we're playing almost the exact same strategy as zone 1, meaning we have the bass notes, we have our rootless voicings. I'm going to add the seventh in now, and then I'm going to voice lead into my 1 and 3 and voice lead into my 1 and 7. Right, so this is for structure one in my rootless voicings. Okay, if I were to do this the other way around, right, for structure two, I'd have this shape, this, and then this. So I have 1 and 3 in my left hand, going to 1 and 7 in my left hand, going to 1 and 3 again in my left hand, right, as you can see here. So here is what zone two sounds like, comping through all the things you are. Here we go. So again, even this is getting a little bit low. I'm gonna jump up here. You hear these beautiful, this is legitimately a two-hand voicing that you're creating. This is how beautiful two-hand voicings start. Jump up. You hear these beautiful, lush zone two voicings. Voicing in my right hand, I'm gonna play a regular here. And 1 and 3 or 1 and 7 in my left hand. That's what zone two is. 1 and 3 in my left hand or 1 and 7, my rootless voicing in my right hand. So that's all zone two. That's zone two. Now, with every single zone, there's ways to spice it up. There's ways to make progress or elevate the sound to a higher professional sound. But these are the basics. These have to be worked on really first until, like I said, you can really start to get into different types of movements. I can get into different types of reharms into my B flat minor seven. What I'm playing right now are top of the notch professional voicings that I use all the time, but I didn't start here. I started with my zone tune comping strategies, and so should you, because this is really the gateway to get yourself there, right? Trying to really just focus in on a lot of reharms and drop twos. I mean, it really takes you away from the fundamentals, the base, the support that uphold a true professional jazz pianist. And again, I promise you, any great jazz pianist can do exactly what I'm showing you here. These are legitimately the fundamentals. Like, these are necessities, absolute necessities to be able to comp like a pro. Like, and again, this is what you should be focused on, because it's 90% of the work. If you can get this down, you're 90% of the way there. I promise you. I promise you. So that's going to be zone two. Let's dive back to the slide here. Okay. Zone four. Okay. I'm just going to comp this real quick to show you. Zone four is a high register comping, high register comping. So your right hand octaves up high with left hand rootless voicings in the middle of the piano. So right hand octaves, sometimes with a fifth again, with left hand rootless voicings in the middle of the piano. So here is what that sounds like, right? So my left hand had, this is a C minor seven rootless voicing. My right hand has an octave. Now, which notes do we play? Let's just start with the chord tones. So here's the third, five, seven. Right, for all the things you are, here's my F minor seven rootless voicing with the third, right? And you just want to voice lead these notes through your chord tone. So again, if I'm playing an F minor seven, my left left hand has rootless voicings. My right hand has roots. I could stay on that to go to my B flat minor 7 and then go to my G and then stay on the G for my A flat major 7. So this is what zone 4 sounds like. So here, right, you won't be able to see my top octave, but you'll be able to see the bottom note. So what I'm playing right now, again, is like F here. See my bottom note, and you can't really see this note because it's cut off, but that's okay. Again, the whole strategy here is my left hand's using rootless voicings, my right hand's using octaves. So if I go and play this now, here's what it's going to sound like. Beautiful high-end register sound, right? Okay, I think that's really all you need. So again, my right, beautiful contrast. I know you couldn't see this too much, but beautiful, beautiful contrast, right? So again, when I'm playing and I want to jump up to the zone 4 here, it creates such a beautiful sound. Now, the beauty of this is that you're kind of cutting over top of the melody, right? I might even move up this high sometimes, right? Or again, my left hand can be here, but I tend to go very light and very sparse. And I try to pick moments where I'm filling in. So I might go... So they're more like fills or cuts or light movements because they're so high here in that top register for zone 4 that it's really going to cut through. It's going to interfere if you're overlapped with the melody. So it's kind of like a very delicate comping zone that you want to work on. Again, that's really one of the last zones you want to work on. 1 and 2 are going to be first, right? In letter A, letter B, then you'd move on to letter B, which is comping zone 4. Okay, and then finally comping zone 3, again, is going to be your beautiful, lush, most difficult zone 3, right? So again, when I comp in zone 3, I'm really up from middle C to kind of like here. These are mainly drop 2s, right? Almost all drop 2s. Different extensions, if you want to go further into this. This is just a 2-5-1 in the key of C. Reharms. And again, some people call these 4-note voicings. I call them drop 2s. They're so easy with my system because once you learn 1 and 2, you simply can take your rootless voicing and turn it into a drop 2. I'm not going to get into all that here. You can create drop 2s out of any chord. A drop 2 isn't a specific set of notes. I'll say that one more time because there's a lot of myths about drop 2s. A drop 2 isn't a specific set of notes. A drop 2 is an arranging technique, meaning I can take any voicing, and if I were to make this a drop 2, I'm simply dropping the second note or voice, right, from the top down to my left hand. So this G flat here, I would drop that down here. That's essentially, whoops, I'm missing that note. That's a drop 2, right? Is that unbelievable? I think a lot of you out there might be like, wait, what? Yes, so exactly. If I take any chord, I can turn it into a drop 2 just by dropping the second note or voice. We call it drop 2, like a voice. This is a choral arranging technique that I use, right, for a lot of voice arrangements. You can be used in horns, trumpets. It's an arranging technique. So on the piano, you're using an arranging technique to create these beautiful drop two sounds, and it's an arranging technique. And again, I use this in zone 3. So I'll give you a little demo of what this is going to sound like. You can see beautifully all my drop twos here. I'll throw in a little couple more spices and things like that so I can spice it up for you, but here's what this is going to sound like. Thank you. done many long comps for a while. Great. So that's all zone three. Now, clearly with that demonstration, you can really, really see how that would, A, get a little boring contrastually. Is that a word? I don't know if that's a word. Contrastually. It will be get kind of boring because of the contrast. You're staying in one texture, one sound, one vibration range, right? You're really just hearing this middle texture. Like for a great comping sound, you need all textures. You need to move around. And B, you're going to be literally sitting right over top of the melody. So anyone playing the melody, you're going to be directly clashing. Like every single note you play in a drop two is directly clashing with the melody, and mainly a lot of the times with an improvisation solo as well. So like drop two zone three is what I recommend to students the least. Like sure, it's the most hyped up area in jazz piano, right? On the internet, on YouTube, learn your drop twos. You got to learn your drop twos. The Barry Harris, right? You heard me do some of the moving passing chords. Fantastic to learn. I'm not saying that. I mean, you definitely sound like a top echelon player when you start to throw those in. But as far as really becoming a complete jazz pianist, this is the last zone you should be working on. And if you spend time learning the other zones, I promise you, you're going to be so much better of a pianist, like exponentially better and faster, so much faster, right? It's like doing drills that relate really to nothing, or like they're the smallest amount of, you know, exercise that really pertains to some sort of game or craft or skill that you're learning. It's like 1% of the entire puzzle, whereas you could work on 99% of the entire puzzle with a couple of exercises and really make strides and loads of progress. So just to get you, let you know again, my live programs are open. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com/live-program to get the info on that. Those are going to start in the fall. And again, just I forgot the URL for the roadmap, but I did say in the beginning of the video. But you can just click on the link in the notes below. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I'm going to be doing part two, all on solo piano, again, following the document that I was showing to you. So go get that document because this whole series is literally on that. And as you scroll through the document, again, a lot of things change. I'm going to go into solo piano. Path two is talking about intermediate to advanced without a bass player, right? And why comping like this, you essentially have to do the role of the bass player. But then again, it goes into the other two goals, solo piano and improv. So that's what I'll be working on in the next podcast. With that being said, hope you have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks for tuning in. I hope today's episode helped bring you some clarity or even inspiration for your playing. If you want a clear path to move forward based on your personal jazz goals, I put together a free resource called the Jazz Piano School Flowchart. It maps out the three most common goals jazz pianists pursue: how to play in a band, comping, solo piano, and improvisation. And it shows you exactly what to work on to get there. You can grab it now for free by going to jazzpianoschool.com/flowchart, or just click the link in the show notes. I'll catch you in the next episode, and as always, happy practicing.